Blog Talk Radio.
Grandbabies.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me.
Yeah!
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing true blindness. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for your word that you've given us so that we could be within your presence and within your will, God. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you place within us so that we could boldly come before your presence and speak with you regularly, knowing that you are always with us, that you're always before us, that you seek for us to dwell with you in perfect peace. Father, I thank you for you giving us this opportunity to feast on your word this evening, God. Father, I thank for the love that is in the studio tonight. I thank you for all of those countries that are listening tonight. I thank you for all of the people who will listen to the rebroadcast of the message tonight so that they can hold on to the truth in your word and they can see what you would have them to see so that their life can be profitable, so that their life can be fruitful, and so that their relationship with you can be bountiful. Father, I thank you for all of these things right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, tonight we're going to be looking in the book of John, chapter 9, and we're going to be discussing true blindness, because there are people who are in the world and they're seeking answers. And there are people in the world really believe that there are no answers. They believe that there is no truth. They believe that everyone can have their own truth and just believe what they happen to believe. And it's interesting because when you consider how far human belief systems can go, I will give you an example of how far human belief systems can go. There is this group of people in Israel called the Bedouin. They're nomad, and they wear these MC Hammer pants. They wear these really baggy pants, and the men and the women, they wear these really baggy pants. And the reason they wear these really baggy pants is because, well, the men at least, is because they have a belief that the Messiah is going to be born and has not been born yet. They believe this. They're really a sect and offshoot, extra special set of beliefs, because they believe that the Messiah can be born through a man or a woman. And that's why the men wear these really baggy pants, because they believe they can have a baby and the Messiah can come through them. And the only reason I'm mentioning this is to show you how far people's belief systems can go beyond reality, beyond the word, beyond anything. It's, you know, people just make stuff up. Human creativity and human imagination is boundless. And so God gives us his word so that we know what he can do. And we know that, well, we know God can do whatever he wants to do within the confines of his word. The one thing he says he cannot do is lie, and he will not contradict his word. So when we talk about blindness is really a condition of not knowing what God has said and put forth in his word. Blindness is not having the truth of the light of God's word in your life, so that then everything is possible. Everything is up for consideration. There is no truth. That's true blindness. And really what men do when they create this condition in their life is they hew out for themselves cisterns, is what it says in the Old Testament. It says that they've hewn out for themselves cisterns, and they were not only cisterns. Cisterns are like containers, big containers for water. And this verse in the Bible says that not only have they hewn out cisterns, they've hewn out broken cisterns that can hold no water. So not only were they limited in capacity But now they're broken, and whatever water you place within them is going to come out of them. Well, that's what human belief systems are. And human belief systems really comprise all religions. All religions in the world are simply human belief systems. They are man-made, crafted by man, structured by man, administered by man, and overseen by man. And they are to provide some guidance for people without the Holy Spirit. See, without the Holy Spirit, you have no guide, you have no teacher, you have no comforter, you have no power, you're just body and soul. But when you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, because you made Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord and Master of your life, now you have access to the throne of God, and all knowledge, wisdom, understanding is yours. And the power that comes with the Holy Spirit gives you sight. The knowledge of the Word of God gives you vision and focus and awareness and purpose and direction. And so when we look at the condition of people in the world, it's fascinating because you can see that we have a multitude of religions, but they're all very similar. If you pay attention to these religions, you'll note that they all have a flood. They all have an end, an Armageddon, so to speak. They all have a Messiah of sorts. They all have many things in common with Christianity except Jesus Christ. And one of the things causes this to be the fact is that all of these religions are reading the word, which is recorded in the stars. And they are reading the same night sky, but they're interpreting it differently. So you'll have religions from all parts of the globe, from all different languages. And all these people are telling stories that sound a lot like Christianity, but they just don't have Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They just don't understand what all of this story in the stars is about. So when they meet you and I, when they meet Christians, all that we usually have to do is introduce them to Jesus Christ and many of the other concepts that are a part of our faith are embodied within the stories that are recorded in the stars, because God recorded the gospel in the stars. And it's one of these things that we have to get to. But today, I want to specifically focus on a passage of scripture in the Gospel of John. And we're going to be looking at chapter 9 in the Gospel of John. And I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible, because it's going to describe what's going on here more clearly than it would in, let's say, the King James Version or any other version of the Bible. And this is going to be Jesus Christ healing a blind man who was blind from birth. But what we're going to see here is a dynamic that occurs between people who are trying to abide by the limited confines of religion and the rules that men have esteemed above all else that God would do. And then we're going to look at Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And where I want to go with this is for us to understand that now that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has taken place, and the Holy Spirit has been sent to dwell within you and I, it's God in Christ and Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. And so wherever we are, the light of Christ is. And that's what's so important, and that's what you're going to see here. But I want to really see, I want to really show this exchange and this condition of the people who think they have the answers, how very blind they are, because what they want to do is they want to place one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. And you just can't do that. you are in the kingdom of God or you are in the world. And what you're going to see is that the order of men, the rules of men, it always splits their allegiance down the middle when they encounter the power of God, because there's no other explanation to the power of God except that it's real, except that it transcends any rule that these men are going to come up with. And so I'm going to start here in verse 1 of chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. It says, "Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?' Jesus said, 'You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do.'" And I want to stop right there for a minute, because this shows you the nature of our thought process as people and what we do when we see someone who happens to be suffering. What this is called in psychology is the just cause phenomenon, where basically we might see someone who is bleeding, who is in pain, who is suffering, who might be laying on the ground in the middle of the street. And we might say to ourselves, that person must have done something really bad to be in that condition. And have you ever walked by or driven by and seen a person who was on the curb, handcuffed, and then there are four or five cop cars around him? And the automatic assumption is, wow, he must have did something very bad to have that many cops and, you know, and be handcuffed on the curb. But really, we don't know what, if anything, happened. All we know is that we see someone on the curb with handcuffs on and a bunch of cops, and we conclude that that person did something bad. And that's why it's important to understand that people are innocent until proven guilty. When you see someone who is suffering, one of the things, I think one of the greatest examples of this was during the Holocaust, when the American soldiers showed up and they had rescued the Holocaust survivors who were in the concentration camps, the response of a lot of the American soldiers when they saw these emaciated Jewish people who were dying of starvation and a whole host of other problems, they said to themselves, people must have really done something really bad to offend their oppressors who have punished them so horribly, right? And that is the nature. It's just how people think, right? And this is what we see here. Jesus is walking down the street, and he saw a blind man, a man who was blind from birth. And we know that this is one of the miracles that the Messiah had to do, was heal a man who was blind from birth. And it says that his disciples said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Why is he blind? Who caused this man to be blind?" And this was a part of their religious understanding. Their understanding was that if someone was suffering from blindness, that they were being punished or their parents were being punished. And so they asked Jesus, who sinned? Because something like blindness has to be the result of sin. And Jesus says to them, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame." Now, how common is this, that we look at the victim or we look at someone who's suffering, and instead of asking how can we comfort them, can we help them, how can we restore them, we're asking how did they get in this condition in the first place? We're asking what did they do to put them in such dire straits? And Jesus Christ says, if that's the question you're asking, you're looking for someone to blame, you're asking the wrong question. And in this specific case, he says there is no such cause and effect here. So he's saying, look, this man was made blind from birth for the very purpose of getting glory from God, because I'm about to heal him. Now, he didn't say that, but you can see that here. And it says, he says, Look instead for what God can do. And this, I think, is really more of a message to us, where he's saying, look at the opportunity for God to get glory from this person who happens to be suffering, who is about to receive deliverance. And when we are in a position to minister to those who are in need, who are suffering, who are bound, who are in pain, who are in shame, then we are not to go digging into all of their business. We are concerned about what God can do to restore them to get glory for God, right? Now, this is one thing that I was discussing earlier today with my wife, and we were discussing between false miracles and true miracles. And false miracles are basically when you have someone exercising supernatural power, and in the process, and normally we're talking about devil spirits, and they're performing healing. They're doing things in the spirit, in the spiritual realm, rather. And then you have people in the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who are also healing people and performing miracles, signs, and wonders. And when you see both of those things happening, they both look like the same thing, but they're not. It's very difficult. Well, it's actually not so difficult to tell the difference between the two when you know. But when you don't know, you would look at that and you would say, oh, goodness, they're both just operating spirit power and they both deserve glory, right? Well, remember when Moses turned staff into a snake in front of Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh had his 10 magicians come and they turned their snakes into, they turned their staffs into snakes as well. But the greater power was that Moses' snake swallowed up all of their snakes, and then he picked the staff back up again, and they no longer had their staffs anymore, right? Well, what God was saying is that the power of God is spiritual, just as the power of the devil is spiritual, but the power of God is greater. And that's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that is a spiritual reality. But what that means is that when you're performing signs, miracles, and wonders, you got devil worshipers and witches and others performing signs, miracles, and wonders that are lying signs, lying miracles, and lying wonders. But we don't know how to tell the difference between the two unless we've been taught. How you are taught is this. When you look at what Jesus Christ says here, he says, look instead for what God can do. Don't look at why the man is in the condition that he's in, right? What Jesus Christ is doing here is saying, this guy is blind because he's about to get glory for God. And when you perform a sign, miracle, or wonder through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is for the express purpose of getting glory for God. And when you are obeying God and you perform these signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth, because it says that signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe. When you are performing these signs, miracles, and wonders, God gets the glory. Nobody's saying your name. Nobody's saying the name of some church. Nobody's saying the name of some organization. Nobody's collecting money. None of that. What's going on is God is getting glory, and what you're doing is directing people to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is directing them to God. And it's the power of Jesus Christ, because when we perform signs, miracles, and wonders, it's always in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's the authority by which we operate. And the result, the net result of that healing, of that miracle, of that sign, of that wonder is that God gets glory through the power of his son, Jesus Christ, operating within us. Now, a lying sign, a lying miracle, a lying wonder would be like one of these guys. I guess one of the most notorious would be David Blaine. If you Google David Blaine, what you'll see is some guy who performs what they call faith healings and other miraculous things through devil spirit operation, but they won't say it's devil spirit operation. They just say it's spiritual power, right? the noteworthy thing here is that the difference between a legitimate sign, miracle, and wonder is that God gets the glory. With whatever David Blaine does, I assure you that what's going to happen after David Blaine does it is David Blaine is going to get the glory and everybody's going to be talking about David Blaine, right? So that's the difference. That's the marker, right? So Jesus Christ tells them as they're trying to look for somebody to blame for why this man is blind, Jesus Christ says, instead of looking for someone to blame, look instead for what God can do. So he's preparing them. He says, we need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here. So Jesus Christ says, look, we need to be energetically working for God who sent me, working while the sun shines. When night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there is plenty of light. I am the world's light. Now, this is before Calvary. This is before he was crucified. This is before Jesus Christ was laid for 3 days and three nights dead in the stone tomb. This is before Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and before he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I, right? It says in this next verse, it says, he said this and then spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. And see, it's powerful because God sent his son Jesus Christ to heal the sick, to cause the lame to walk, to cause the blind to see, to deliver those who were bound by demonic possession, right? And it says the man went and washed and saw. So the blind man obeyed what Jesus Christ said after Jesus Christ put the paste on his eye, the clay, and he went and washed and he saw. So now you have this blind man who's been healed, who was blind from birth. And the reaction to this is fascinating. The reaction of the community is fascinating. Look at what it says here in the next verse. It says, soon the town was buzzing. His relatives and those who year after year had seen him as a blind man begging were saying, why, isn't this the man we knew who sat here and begged? Others said, it's him all right. But others objected, it's not the same man at all. It just looks like him, right? So they really don't believe that this man has been healed. They see that he can see, but they, half of them believe that it's the same guy who was blind, and half of them believe it's somebody that looks like him who is pretending to be healed. So what it says next is, it says, he said, it's me, the very one. This is the blind guy talking. They said, how did your eyes get open? So instead of asking him what it's like to be healed, what is it like to see again, they're asking him, how'd your eyes get open? Now, what's fascinating here is that what you're going to see later on is that the people who Jesus Christ calls blind are the ones who claim to see, right? Look at what it says here. It says, a man named Jesus is what the blind guy says, made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. And I did what he said. When I washed, I saw. So where is he? The blind guy said, I don't know. They marched the man to the Pharisees. So after this blind guy gets healed, the religious leaders pull Jesus Christ to the Pharisees for an explanation, to explain what he did. He says, this day when Jesus made the paste and healed his blindness was the Sabbath. The Pharisees grilled him again on how he had come to see. He said, he put clay paste on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, obviously, this man can't be from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. So they're objecting to when healed the blind man. It's really a technicality, right? And I wonder if we ever see this dynamic occur among our brothers and sisters in Christ, where we're less concerned about somebody's deliverance and being delivered than we are about how they got delivered, or maybe who delivered them, or maybe, you know, just where they came from in the first place. What is their background? What is their story? About everything except what matters, right? Jesus Christ says early on, he said what matters is looking for what God can do, looking at how God is going to get glory from each and every one of us who are delivered, who are restored, who are empowered. Because I'll tell you, each and every one of us were an enemy of God before we were saved. That's the reality. That's a fact. And when we were in the world, we were all doing different things in the world the way that we did them in the world. And that's how it is. That's real. That's absolute. I don't even have to ask a question about that. That is what it is, right? But now that we're in the body of Christ and we have the Holy Spirit within us, we are the light of the world. And that's what we're going to see here, is our ability to see comes through our knowledge of the word and the fact that we know that God is operating through us, through the power of his Holy Spirit within us. So he says, look, he said, so where's this guy? He says, I don't know. Pharisees marched the man, or they marched the man to the Pharisees for an explanation, right? And when the Pharisees said, this man can't be from God, he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others countered, how can a man do miraculous God-revealing things like this? There was a split in their ranks. And see, this is a fascinating thing, is when these people who create these systems, when they idolize their own religion, encounter the power of God, then they have to have an explanation. And what will happen is that there'll be a division. There'll be those who can't deny the reality of the power of God that they have experienced, and it will impact them positive. And then you'll have the other half that are going to look at the person who performed the miracle, and they'll say there's no way that this person could perform such a miracle because they broke the rules and they did it on the Sabbath, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And see, they had the same problem that Jesus Christ's disciples had early on, was the disciples wanted to know, they were like, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that caused him to be blind, right? And Jesus Christ said, you're asking the wrong question. And, you know, when we are ministering to people, oftentimes that's exactly what we're doing, asking the wrong question in our mind, because we're not regarding people according to the spirit. We're regarding them according to the flesh. And the Bible tells us that we're to regard no person according to the flesh. We're to regard all people according to the spirit, even ourselves. And that's why I am constantly encouraging you to speak in your heavenly prayer language to God as often as possible, to sing in your heavenly prayer language to God as often as possible, because it's a reminder to you that your existence, your power, your purpose, your praise, your position is in the realm of the Spirit. We are seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus right now. Right? And when we are speaking in our heavenly prayer language, when we're speaking in tongues, we are literally speaking, we're receiving from God what to say. It's coming to our spirit, it's going to our mind, it's coming from our mouth or through our mind into the heavenlies and having an impact and effect in the heavenlies that needs to occur, right? That is what Jesus Christ is trying to position his disciples for with disclosing this whole reality to them. He's trying to show them that those who look blind as those who claim to see and are blind, because they miss the things of the spirit and they focus on the things of the flesh. So when those who countered the Pharisees that said, this man can't be from God, and the others said, I don't know about that. They said, how can a bad man do miraculous God-revealing things like this? And there was a split. They came back at the blind man. You're the expert. He opened your eyes. What did you say? What do you say about him? Now, really, this is a political posture here, because if he says the wrong thing, he could get killed. He could get stoned. They could judge him as critically as they want to judge Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ isn't there at the moment. He said, and this is the blind man speaking, he said he's a prophet. The Jews didn't believe it, didn't believe the man was blind to begin with. They think the whole thing is a hoax. So they called the parents of the man, now bright-eyed with sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, the one you say was born blind? So how is it that he now sees?" Now, you got to remember, well, listen to what it says. It says his parents said, "We know he's your son. We know he's our son, rather. And we know he was born blind. But we don't know how he now came to see. We haven't a clue about who opened his eyes. Why don't you ask him? He's a grown man and can speak for himself." It says here his parents were talking like this because they were intimidated by the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who took a stand that this was the Messiah would be kicked out of the meeting, kicked out of the meeting place. That's why his parents said, "Ask him, he's a grown man." Now, what's fascinating about this is that in that culture, if you were kicked out of the synagogue, if you were excommunicated, you couldn't buy bread. You couldn't walk on the same side of the street as everybody else. You were a second-class citizen. Your reality changed. So it wasn't like today where if you leave one church, you can go to another church. No, you literally were excommunicated from the community. So his parents said, "You know what? We're not going to get in this mess. We're going to hand it back to our son." He said, "Look, somebody healed him. We don't know who. He's a grown man. Ask him." They called the man back a second time, the man who had been blind, and told him, "Give credit to God." The man who had been blind and told him, "Give credit to God. We know this man is an imposter." He replied, "I know nothing about that one way or the other. But I know one thing for sure. I was blind and I now see." And so this is fascinating because they're really trying to get him to speak against Jesus Christ and say that he wasn't blind and that they're just pretending and this is a hoax. And he's like, "Look, I don't know anything about this guy one way or the other, but I know I was blind and now I see." They said, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I've told you over and over, and you haven't listened. Why do you want to hear it again? Are you so eager to become his disciples?" Now, this is a fascinating thing, to see this guy who's being grilled by these people with a power to change his existence, to really have him cast out and excommunicated, right, and punished for being delivered. And I wonder how often we do that in the body of Christ, where people who are delivered, we treat like they are still in their sin. We treat people who are delivered like they are still in bondage. I'll give you an example. Is people who testify of having been thieves and robbers and crooks, right? Have you ever seen anybody who sits next to a person who testified of being a thief, robber, or crook, hold on to their purse a little tighter, right? Or if you hear somebody testify of being a philanderer and God delivered them and now they don't let their spouse anywhere near this person because they testified of how they used to behave before God got a hold of them and delivered them from their philandering, right? Well, this is one of those things that we have to look at, is how are we responding to the signs, miracles, and wonders that God is doing in people's lives? Because we always say God's not doing miracles anymore, and we don't see this and we don't see that. And the fact is, God is always doing these things. The power of God is always at work in the earth. And unfortunately, when we are not participating in all of that, normally we're behaving like these Pharisees here in blindness, because we're looking at everything except the deliverance. We're looking at everything except the restoration. We're looking at everything except what God is accomplishing in the earth through Jesus Christ, through us. And here's what it says. It says here, it says, with that, they jumped all over him. You might be a disciple of that man, but we're disciples of Moses. So here's the difference. The difference is one is representing the power of God, and one is representing the law of the past. And when the power of God shows up and it's new, it's what's going on today, the Messiah is actually with them and they do not comprehend he is the Messiah. And this was one of the acts that the Messiah was supposed to do. The Messiah was supposed to heal a man born blind from birth. And they were like, oh, this can't possibly be him because he was from Nazareth and all this other stuff, right? Look at what it says. It says, we know for sure that God spoke to Moses, but we have no idea where this man even comes from. So they're more concerned about where Jesus comes from than the fact that he performed one of the miracles that the Old Testament says the Messiah is supposed to perform, healing a man blind from birth, right? The man replied, this is amazing. You claim to know nothing about him, but the fact is he opened my eyes. It's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does his will. That someone opened the eyes of a man born blind has never been heard of, ever. If this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. They said, you're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us? Then they threw him out in the street. Now think about this. This is literally a group of religious leaders. These are the Pharisees. And they told this guy he was not important. They told him he was dirt. They told him, how dare you raise your voice to us and criticize us for not knowing Jesus Christ, and kicked him out. Threw him out in the street, right? It's that kind of religion that we do not want in the world, period, because it's rooted in blindness. It's rooted in operating out of a form of godliness, but rejecting the power of the Holy Spirit, rejecting the power of godliness. See, true godliness is looking to heal, deliver, free, restore, empower, renew, encourage those who are suffering, those who are being afflicted by the devil, and setting them free. And what these religious leaders told this man who was newly delivered was that he was dirt. They threw him out in the street because he said that Jesus Christ was from God, and they call themselves religious leaders and don't even know who he is. And this man healed a man blind from birth. And now they want the blind man to say that it was a ruse and that he wasn't really blind, right? So now they're asking him to lie. But because he won't lie, he's even questioning them. He's like, are y'all really religious men taking this tone? I'm not convinced. Look at what Jesus' response is. It says, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out and went and found him. He asked them, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man said, point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in this man. Jesus said, you're looking right at him. Don't you recognize my voice? Master, I believe, the man said, and worshiped him. So when he recognized Jesus Christ's voice, because you remember he was blind when Jesus healed him, right? Then he went down, washed at the pool of Siloam after Jesus Christ put the clay
that taste of clay on his eyes, clay and spit. He went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and he could see. And Jesus Christ wasn't anywhere around, right? But now, he's looking right at him. He says, don't you recognize my voice? When he recognized his voice, he said, Master, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have been made great, who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind. And I want to stop there real quick for a moment and show you that these religious leaders had their entire existence, their living, their position in their community was all based on that they had the answer, that they knew what was going on, that they understood the laws of Moses and all of these things to come with the Messiah and all of this. And this is, Jesus said to him, I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all distinctions clear so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind. So Jesus Christ came to point out the fake. And God knows these days we have more than enough fake in the world. Fake, enough fake to go around for everybody, right? And so people are looking for the real, authentic power of God so that your opinion's not going to be split between the things of the spirit and the things of the world, right? These people, when they saw this man blind from birth, healed and delivered, these religious leaders, they were split down the middle. One said, this is a false, lying sign, miracle, and wonder. The other said, hey, this looks like the power of God to me. And then Jesus shows up himself. Now, what's fascinating, look at this. It says, some Pharisees overheard him and said, does that mean that you're calling us blind? See, these religious leaders are more concerned about what people are saying about them than the fact that God was able to heal this man blind, born from birth, and deliver him from bondage that had not been healed in such a way ever, right? This is why healing the man blind born from birth is such a tremendous miracle. It was one of the signs of the Messiah. And these guys are rejecting that. And they're more concerned about him saying, are you calling us blind? Are you saying that we make a big deal of being the ones with all the answers, right? And what you'll find is these ones with all the answers have a serious problem. They have a serious problem. The Messiah is in their midst and they cannot even see him. He's performing the miracles that were said that the Messiah should perform, and they're not concerned about that. They're not concerned about this man that was delivered. They're concerned about the fact that they overheard Jesus saying that they were making a great pretense of being able to see, but they're being exposed as being blind. Jesus said, if you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure. And I really want to just kind of stop there for a minute. Because, see, when people say that they don't know and they humble themselves, and allow God to bring the answers to you. Allow God to bring the truth to you. Allow God to bring the resources and restoration and power and encouragement to you to do what God would have you to do and get glory for him. That's what God is looking for. But those who claim to see things so well, they're accountable for every fault and failure, because they are claiming to be the answer when the answer is always just to point people to Christ, point people to the Word, point people to the Messiah. And what they're trying to do is reject the Messiah right here. They are rejecting the power of God that God, that Jesus Christ was trying to tell them here. He said, look at what he told his own disciples. They were asking when this whole thing started, who was to blame? The blind man or his parents, right? Even his own disciples were asking the wrong question. And Jesus told them so. He said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame, right? This is not a blame game situation, nor is it a situation where those who are in power and authority are of any concern to Jesus Christ. And it's fascinating because they threw this blind guy out of the synagogue like he was dirt. And they told him, you're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us, right? And we have to see that ultimately Jesus Christ wanted relationship with this guy, and he came back to him. He didn't have to come back. The guy was healed. The guy could see, right? But he came back because of his concern and because he was ready to take the heat that this man, that they wanted to throw on this man, because somebody was going to pay for this. Somebody was going to get kicked out of the synagogue, right? Jesus heard that they had thrown him out and went and found him. See, that's Jesus Christ's response to these religious leaders throwing this man who had been healed after being born blind, begging in the streets his whole life, and now Jesus heals him. These religious leaders say, you're nothing but dirt. They kick him out for taking an authoritative tone with him and saying, you don't even know who Jesus Christ is, and he performed this miracle that, you know, the Messiah was supposed to perform, and you don't even know who he is. When Jesus Christ heard that the man was thrown out, he went and he found the blind guy, the guy that used to be blind, rather. And he asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man said, point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him. Jesus said, you're looking right at him. Don't you recognize my voice? And then when he made the connection, he said, Master, I believe. The man said, and he worshiped him. And here's something that's important about this, is the man worshiped Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ let him. Now, you know what's important about this? And this might not seem like such a big deal to anybody, but this is a serious theological question. You have a lot of people in the world who are debating, religious people, they're debating about whether you are to worship as you worship God, the one who sent Jesus Christ. And you know what this says right here? This says the man worshiped Jesus Christ. It didn't say that Jesus Christ told the man not to. And we know in the Old Testament when angels and others had men bow down to them, they would say, no, don't bow down to me. Get up. I serve God. I serve God, right? That didn't happen here. He said, Master, I believe. The man said, and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind. See, Jesus Christ came to expose the fake. So when you have a David Blaine performing lying signs, miracles, and wonders, then you're supposed to be able to put the real power of God on side of that, and then show people what real deliverance is, what real healing is, what real restoration is. Because you can rest assured that whatever Blaine is doing or any such person, it is not the type of healing and deliverance that God is doing. That these men are getting the credit and the glory is telling you that it is a lying sign, miracle, and wonder. As a matter of fact, whenever you hear people proclaiming to be the answer, and all you hear is their name and their organization's name and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I'm telling you that it is a distraction. If you hear that more than Jesus Christ and God and the Word and the Holy Spirit, you need to run, and run quickly, because it's just bondage. It's a trap, right? Jesus Christ said, hey, I came to make everything clear as the day. I am the light, and I'm making all distinctions clear so that those who never seen will see, right? So look, it's not a crime to admit that you have never seen, because that's what Jesus Christ came for, was to show, to be the light, to disclose, so that you can put away the fake. The world is full of fake, and fake is not good enough for the children of God. What the children of God need is the meat of the Word of God, so that they can get the nourishment that they need, so that they can grow up into the true body of Christ, and we can perform the signs, miracles, and wonders that make God known to those who have only heard of the power of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. The Pharisees heard Jesus Christ say that to expose those who make a great pretense of being able to see as being blind. They were offended. And they said, does that mean you're calling us blind? And that's another indicator of false religion, is it's all about them. It's all about them. I swear it is, you know, there's such a focus on, did you just say that to us? Are you calling us blind? Do you understand who you're talking to? Jesus said, if you were really blind, you'd be without fault. You'd be blameless. But because you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure. And see, that's the nature of the Mosaic Law, the Law of Moses. The Law of Moses had to detail every transgression, every sin, so that people knew how far away they were from God and what they would have to do to pay for what they did. Their Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for all of our sin, his perfect blood, and was beat for our physical wholeness, and was laid in the stone tomb for 3 days and three nights. God raised him from the dead and sent the Holy Spirit to dwell with him. You and I, that's God in Christ and Christ in us, the hope of glory through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we operate in the fullness of that Holy Spirit in the world. And since all of that has transpired, since that has changed, now the law that we are under is not the Mosaic law. It's not the law of Moses that worships how far away we are from God based on our sin, because all of our sin has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. So there are no more blood sacrifices to be offered. There is nothing more that you can do. There is no payment that can be made for sin, because God already paid for the sins of the whole world. But God knows who's going to receive that payment by making his Son Jesus Christ their master, and God knows who's not, because only God has foreknowledge of the future. And because he knows who is going to make his Son Jesus Christ their master and believe, he knows who his children are, because he knows who's going to make Jesus Christ their master. For all of those others who refuse to bow down to the authority of Jesus Christ, what they're saying is, I'm going to pay for my own sin. I'm going to do this. And see, if you could, if that was possible, God would not have had to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for your sin in the first place. Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to go through everything he went through if you could do it yourself. There is no such thing as do-it-yourself salvation. Either you accept the payment that God made by sending his Son Jesus Christ to die for you and I, to have our sins paid for with the perfect blood of his Son Jesus Christ, or you reject that payment. And when you reject that payment, this says you're accountable for every fault and failure. If you're going to do it yourself, then you have to do it perfectly, and that just cannot be done. That's why God gives us new grace and new mercy each and every day. And that's why we have to get to the point where we stand on the promises of God in such a way that we receive all of God's new grace and new mercy each and every day. I want to really just encourage each and every one of you to thank God for the light of the world, word that he's given us, And the fact that we are in relationship with him in such a way that we can go before the throne of God at any time. We can speak to our Heavenly Father at any time, at any place, and allow him to speak to us in such a way that we know that he's with us. We know that he hears us. We know that we are positioned to hear him. And we understand that we're seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ right now. We understand that we are with a soul and a body. And when we are building up our inner man by speaking in tongues, and we're praying in tongues, and we're studying God's word, and we're fasting, and we're fellowshipping with like-minded believers, we're praying with our understanding, and we're singing with our understanding. When we're doing all these things, we are building up our soul, and we are reinforcing our soul through the power of the Spirit in such a way that we are preparing ourselves for eternity, and we are being those spiritual beings that God has called us to be, because our spirit is dwelling with our soul more than our flesh, and our flesh is always going to look for wanting to be satisfied, wanting to be fulfilled, wanting to be catered to. And that's why we have to learn and practice saying no to the flesh. Just say no. Just say no to the flesh. And it's not so easy all the time, right? But the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. And when you understand that, what you're really doing is you're making room for the Spirit to have the dominant reality in your life, so that you are literally no longer regarding yourself according to the flesh anymore, because you're not subjecting yourself to the flesh. You're not concerned about what you're eating or what you're drinking or any of that. Not your focus, right? Your focus is, am I in relation with God? Am I doing what God needs me to do now? And being in control of your flesh, so that when God says, turn your plate down, you turn your plate down. When God says, pick your plate up, you pick it up. When God says, modify what you put on the plate, you modify what you put on the plate. Because the Holy Spirit is your teacher and your guide and your comforter, and he is leading and guiding you into all truth. See, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And the last enemy that is going to be destroyed is death. Jesus Christ is going to put all dominion under his feet. And he's doing an absolute and complete work. And see, that's what I love about the Word of God. The Word of God is, God speaks in absolutes because he has the power to pull that off. If it wasn't God, he would say, well, maybe if you do this, maybe this will happen, maybe this. God doesn't say maybe. He says, thou shalt be saved. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He says that those who believe, signs, miracles, and wonders shall follow them, right? God speaks in absolutes, and that so that we can absolutely stand on his promises and not doubt and not waver and not worry and not second guess God, right? Not try to do what these Pharisees were doing by having one foot in one camp. You had half of them saying, oh yeah, this is a hoax. That guy wasn't blind. Then you had the others half saying, oh, this is clearly the power of God. Only someone who was of God could pull that off. Excuse me. And so I want you to really consider how God is working in your life to cause you to see more clearly, so that you're not distracted by the things of the world. A lot of times, they cover so well. If you listen to what people are saying, sometimes it sounds so good. But if you don't hear the word, then it's probably a poison pill wrapped in candy. You know, we're wrapped in K
cake or something that you don't, you know, wouldn't mind eating, right? But when you get down to the core of it, you find out, oh my God, that's a stone. Or something worse, right? Well, I just want you to really consider God's love for you and all that God has done to bring you where you are. And then to remember that we overcome by the power of our testimony. This blind guy here, he was testifying of what happened to him in spite of the threat of these Pharisees, saying, if you say this, we're going to throw you out of here, and we're not getting kicked out of the synagogue, and we're not getting excommunicated and having to not be able to buy bread and not be able to walk on the street, not be able to do this and do that. And so they said, hey, our son is the one who was healed. Ask him, right? Now, you would think that some parents of a kid who was born blind, who's no longer a beggar in the street, would be excited about their son being blind. But you see here how much power these Pharisees had, where they were able to literally punish people who went against their influence. And so they're going to create this big case here. And the guy who was healed, he said, this is amazing. You claim to know nothing about Jesus Christ, but the fact is he opened my eyes. And he says, it's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does his will, right? Even the blind guy saw that this was a man of God who healed him, right? And yet these self-proclaimed religious leaders, the Pharisees who prided themselves in their knowledge of the law of Moses, see the Messiah in their midst. Right now, for us, there's really no excuse, because we have the word written in the stars, we have the word of God written in the scrolls, we have the word of God written in text for the New Testament and the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have the word of God on all of our electronic devices and all translations. We are spoiled. And when we understand the power that we have access to, not just through the Spirit, but through the Word of God itself, and you add to that the power, the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, absolutely, we have absolutely no excuse for dimming the light that the world sees. When people want to know about Jesus Christ, they should be coming to us, right? Because the source of light is Jesus Christ, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we are looking for the return of God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that we, at that time, will be like him. Whatever form he's in, whatever he is, however he exists and operates, that's how we're going to be when he returns. And that is the day that we're looking for. I'm not going to prolong tonight's teaching. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and I'm going to allow you to, as a matter of fact, if there's anyone else on the line who wants to have a word, I'm going to allow you to come in to the line and just say what it is you have to say if you can. Is that possible?
Praise God. If you are in the studio with us right now and you would like to make a comment or you have a question, please press your 1 at this time. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. But while we wait, we do have some Spirit Alive family members in here. Minister Adam, would you like to have a word?
Minister Tuggle.
Amen.
That's okay.
Oh, he's
but
at work. He might be at work.
He's
on the line. Sister Jackie, would you like to have a word?
Woman of God.
Well, I'm just trying to build my faith that get a good relationship with God. That's what I need help with.
Well, and I'll
Amen.
Tell you, it's so late. It's amazing you're still on the line.
Oh, no, I was observing everything. I was listening to everything you were saying.
And you know what? God is so excited about the fact that you are focused on him. And understand that when you're focused on God, God is focused on you. And so many people think that God does not have time for them because he's doing so much. And some people think they can't get through to God. But I'll tell you, the fact that whenever you can get in God's presence, you're there. But understand that God is always with you. God, there are three qualities of God, three characteristics of God. He's omnipresent, meaning he's present everywhere. He's omnipotent, meaning he's all-powerful, and he's omniscient, he's all-knowing. So you're never going to be in a situation where God's not going to be with you. You're never going to be in a situation where you're not going to have access to the power that you need, and you're never going to be in a situation where you're not going to have access to the knowledge that you need with you through the Holy Spirit that's in you. And so I'm just encouraged to hear you here and for us to be here for a third night together. What was it, Sunday?
Yes, amen.
Monday, Tuesday.
Yes, amen. Amen. We family up around here. Hallelujah.
I'll be here tomorrow night.
She's going to come. She's right there.
Yeah, she look at Sister Jackson. I'll be here tomorrow night. I'll be there tomorrow night, too. Look, and you know, it's, you know, nothing to me to hear and to know. To see a Christian that really is thirsty and hungry for the word of God, that really wants to be able to say for herself, this is what I know to be true in my life. You know, to me, that's the beauty of the Lord. You know, if we just open up our eyes to the way God works and interworks within us and through us and to us and for us, and it's all going back to him. I just really enjoyed your teaching on tonight.
Me too.
Because, you know, what to me, it's like this. We need to understand, even unsaved people can be made privy to the power and the miracles and the awesomeness of God. There are
Amen.
People that have never stepped inside a church in their life, but they know there's something different about perhaps you. Or they know, or they've known that a person has been in a situation and the Lord came through, and even they had to know it wasn't nobody but God. Or something.
Amen. And that's how God gets the glory, right?
Yeah. And see, God's still going to get the glory. So I just want to thank you, Bishop, for this wonderful teaching on tonight. Really got me stirred up again for the third day in a row. But this is what I love. So God bless you, mighty man of God. I don't see any questions or any more comments, so I'm going to turn your program back over to you for your closing comments and to close out your program, sir.
Well, I just want to thank God for this opportunity, and I'm going to enter into prayer right now, and hopefully we'll have a great song at the end. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your presence in our life, God. Father, I thank you for how much you love us, God. Father, we praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, God, that you sent for all of our sins, God, that paid for our physical wholeness with this broken body, God. And I thank you for us being led by the Holy Spirit that was made available because of his obedience to you in all things. God, Father, we thank you for how you glorified your son, Jesus Christ, and exalted him above all. And Father, we thank you for the complete and finished work he's in the process of doing by subjecting all of his enemies under his feet. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to assist him and you and creating this heavenly kingdom of many nations and drawing all men and women and children to you. Father, I thank you for your giving each and every one of us a great night's sleep and preparing us for the next day. And for those of us who are in portions of the world where you're going through your day, I thank you for you having
a great day and a great night's sleep at the end of that day. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
Good night, love you guys. You're the best.
Yeah, I enjoyed y'all. Love y'all. Can't wait till tomorrow night. Good night.